Welcome to this episode of PageCast at Kingsmead, brought to you by Jonathan Ball Publishers. I'm Kellyanne Sara, and I have the pleasure of being joined at our book fair studio by Bronwyn Williams. Bronwyn is a futurist, economist, and business trends analyst who earns a living as a court jester consulting to clients in public and private sectors across the world. Today, as a partner at Flux Trends and an associate at futurist.com, Bronwyn's research focuses on how macro socioeconomic trends and emerging technologies will impact businesses, industries, and nations in the short and long term. Her latest book is The Future Starts Now, Experts' Insights into the Future of Business, Technology, and Society. And it is also co-authored by Theo Priestley. So welcome, Bronwyn.
Thank you.
So your book, The Future Starts Now, provides insights and guidance into how society and businesses will transform in the years to come. Can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, so this is more of a project than a book, because I like to say it's almost a cheat to call myself an author for this one, although I did write a good 5,000 to 10,000 words. Mainly, the point of this book was for us to get perspectives on futurists from all across the world, from looking at the future from a pragmatic rather than a completely optimistic or a completely pessimistic perspective, and to collate all those ideas into one book. And why that was so important to us is that was the whole point of our problem with the future at the moment, which is kind of falling into a singularity. You've kind of got two prevailing views of the future, either complete techno-optimism to the moon and all of that, or you've got the opposite, that we're all going to die, like either through nuclear warfare, thanks to Russia, Ukraine, whatever's going on there, or because we're going to destroy the planet. And basically, there is no future. So you've got the antinatalist movements, you've got the degrowth movements, you've got these ideas the future is going to be less than the present, and then we should all kind of curl up and die. Not just because things are going to be worse in the future, but because, quite frankly, we are the problem. We don't deserve a future. And we wanted to kind of challenge those views. So although those sort of binary views are what people gravitate towards, you want a simple story, they're also very dangerous because, as my training in economics will tell you, our expectations shape our reality, and our central bankers are paid an awful lot of money to nudge our expectations because they know that our expectations change our buying behavior and what we invest in, what we do, and what we build, and all the rest of it. So we wanted to challenge those expectations. We wanted to show people the future was more nuanced, in some ways more boring, in other ways more exciting, in other ways more interesting than you would have thought. And that's not something one person could do. So it would be disingenuous for Theo, even Theo and myself, to sit down and write a book saying, this is the future, because that's just playing prophet again. That's also setting expectations rather than challenging expectations. So instead, we got bunch of people all over the world with very different views and with very different primary concerns about the future to sit down and write effectively, not quite letters, but almost kind of letters to the future, saying this is the things we're looking at, we're thinking about, that we think are important for you to talk about too. And the book is very explicit in challenging the reader to say they need to be part of the future, that they shouldn't take any of these things at face value. They should criticize every one of these views, challenge them, and be part of that conversation. In other words, the very simple message is the future needs more voices and more stories, not just regurgitations of old stories and old ideas. And ultimately, the future needs you, because agency is one of these things that if you don't use it, you lose it.
Right. Mm. I found the book incredibly comforting, purely because you have a lot firing at you from various different angles, social media. You've got this question of like, should I have kids? Will I be able to leave them with something? And it all just gets a lot. And you kind of go to like the very basic sort of fears as a human. And I found the book incredibly comforting because it kind of breaks everything down and just gives me something really practical to look at. Like, oh, okay. You're on a panel at this year's festival discussing the state of our nation. And obviously we are crunch time, Wednesday. So what is your take on where we are as a nation?
Well, that's the great thing. When it comes to our future in South Africa with this particular election, because the outcome is for the first time in 30 years not certain, And in fact, it's never been certain, but we told ourselves again that story of this singular view of South Africa. We know who's going to win. We know what's going to happen. So then we become passengers. We become passive. But this year, even the polls are telling us, even what is certain is uncertainty in that they're going to be coalitions, which means there's room for change, which means participation is more important. So it really sort of speaks to the same ethos we had in the book. And what's nice about it is that this particular context is cracking open the conversation. In fact, I'm doing like a event just after the elections on future scenarios for South Africa. We're going to be taking through different stories that could be looking at this country in 50 years' time, saying, what are the different worlds we could end up living in? And it's not just one story anymore. It's a, it's a much more rich tapestry, and we all have a part to play in that. The future is not predetermined. I think it's really exciting to see that again. I mean, like, what South Africa needed 30 years ago was certainty because we had too much uncertainty. But now we kind of have the opposite problem, and then we have this apathy, and we have this sort of nihilism and this non-participation. People think something just happened in the background, but now you have to participate because the story is evolving, and it's a great opportunity for us to write that next chapter together.
I think it's fantastic. Thank you for that. Okay, so we're going to do a quick fire question, and it's the question of the day for the festival. So what was the last book you read, and what will you be reading next?
The last book I read was this year, In the Pile.
Finding Endurance by Daryl Bristow-Bovey.
Tension of reading until I sat down with Stephen City, also an author, at the Friendship Book Festival, and he said, you've got to read this book.
He's been a huge advocate, too.
Stuff all the time. And then I happened to be wandering around and found myself in the talk with Daryl, and I was like, I have to buy this book. This guy's too witty. And it's just amazing. It was great.
It's a fascinating book, and it's a real gem, I must say. I think nobody really wants to, well, especially you don't really want to grapple with Shackleton as much unless you're a, you know, history.
Shacklehead, I think.
Yes, Shacklehead, there we go.
I don't know about that either.
But I think if paired with Daryl's personal sort of narrative through it with his relationship with his father, I also loved it. And the jacket is really beautiful. So gorgeous.
Must judge books by their cover.
You have to do it. Have to, because this is just a beautiful piece of illustration, and it's gorgeous. So
it's the sort of book I'd like to write one day. So, you know, like I said, it's great. But in the other part of your question of what I'm reading next, I'm going back to the book that I paused in order to read all the stuff I had to read for both the Franchook Festival and for this one to get all ready for all my panels. Going back to Bad Money by Lynn Alden, which if you haven't read, it's probably one of the better books about money. There's lots of books written about money, and some of them are better than others. A lot of them cover the same ground, but she does push it forward in a way that resonates with me. Again, wearing very much on my economist hat. And if you are passionate about sort of real monopoly capitalism, not the sort that our politicians tell us, but the sort that actually runs the world, hello, petrodollar, it's the sort of content we should be engaging with.
Thank you so much, Bronwyn, for joining us today. The Future Starts Now is available for purchase online and in bookstores, so go grab your copy.
Thank you very much. Rage Against the Singularity, the Machine, and the Monopoly, right?
Wonderful.